sliceofscifi.com.
And your first question comes from the line of Tyler Gray.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Good, yourself?
I'm great. So I was just wondering, you know, what can you describe what you would imagine the experience being like on this thing? What's it sound like? What's it feel like? I think the feel is really important. No one can imagine the speed, this sort of experience. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. It would actually feel a lot like being in an airplane. So there'd be an initial acceleration, and once you're traveling at speed, you wouldn't really notice the speed at all. So it would just feel extremely smooth, like you were riding on a cushion of air, really. You wouldn't feel lateral acceleration, like side-to-side acceleration, because the pod would bang against the side of the tube. So the G-force would always point down, and they wouldn't be particularly strong. We sort of set it with a maximum and a G-force of around a half a G of increase. So that's also comparable to what you'd see in an airplane or and far less than you'd see in, say, a roller coaster. It should just feel really super smooth and quiet. And obviously there'd never be any turbulence or anything.
And that's true on startup as well, on acceleration.
Yeah, exactly. It is, yeah.
I'll keep asking if nobody else is online. I'm happy to do so.
Joe, I think we have we do have some other folks in the queue.
And your next question comes from the line of David Baker.
Thanks for taking the call. Could you walk us through, I haven't had time to read all the whole 57 thing, just the pages of the thing, just the top of it. So could you walk us through the whole process of how this accelerates the pod up to speed and then recaptures that energy at the other end?
Sure. So it's a linear motor, an electric induction motor, essentially all that version of the same kind of AC induction motor that is in the Model S. So this is a pretty long-standing technology. In fact, a linear induction motor was basically invented by Tesla back in the day. It essentially creates an electromagnet with it turns the air ski into an electromagnet. So they're not naturally magnetic, but with an induction motor, you can induce a magnetic force. And then it essentially sends a pulse down the motor, and that the tube ends up essentially chasing the pulse. And you gradually accelerate in a very smooth manner to around 800 miles an hour.
So it's similar to the maglev idea, except you wouldn't be using the electric current for the levitation part. You'd have the airflow for that.
Right, yeah. Okay. Exactly, yeah.
Okay. And then it recaptures all that energy as you decelerate?
Exactly, yeah. It's a linear induction motor in reverse becoming a generator on the receiving end.
Gotcha. All right, I'll let the next person ask the next question. Thanks a lot.
All right, cool.
Your next question comes from the line of Justin
Pritchard. Two questions. What do you see as the likelihood of this actually being built? And I heard you say that it could never crash. How could that be in earthquake country?
Obviously never is a rather strong word. I mean, it's just extremely difficult, I suppose, to crash. You know, unlike an airplane, it's not really moving in three dimensions. It's not like it's going to fall out of the sky, essentially. Nor can it be really good as a train can. And the thought I had was to actually, in the pylons on which the tube is mounted, to have earthquake dampers. It's sort of similar to the sort of thing that you have in buildings in California. So that they're like basically shock absorbers. So you have two laterally mounted for X, Y, take out X, Y movement. And then one vertically mounted in the post to take out vertical movement. Now, there's going to be potentially some earthquake that's so gigantic that it overcomes the I've been thinking about that, and I have to say, I'm somewhat tempted to at least make a demonstration prototype. But I think it would have to point it for a little bit of time, so it's not immediate. But I've sort of come around a little bit on my thinking here that maybe I can just do the beginning bit and just create a subscale version that's operating and then hand it over to somebody else. I think some of the more difficult things are just kind of ironing out the details at a subscale level is a tricky thing. I think I'll probably end up doing that. But it just won't be immediate because in the short term I'm going to focus on SpaceX and Tesla execution.
Sorry, just to clarify that, I think in the past you said that it would be open source, so is that still the case, or are you waffling on that?
No, it's still the case, actually. This is not from the standpoint of me trying to make, some sort of, I'm not trying to, go make a ton of money on this, but I would like to see it come to fruition. And I think it might help if I did a demonstration article. So I think I probably will do that, actually. So it's not coming around a bit, and I think then I find it.
And your next question comes from the line of Damon Levin.
Hi, Elon. Wanted to just get a little bit of background on the technology, kind of how this was fleshed out by you and the SpaceX crew. And I think you said as well that the Tesla had, some of the Tesla people had a hand on it. Could you kind of explain how you were using SpaceX and Tesla to kind of collaborate on this design and maybe get into some of the technical details?
Sure. As I've described in the epic paper and said before, I was trying to think of what's a theoretically best way to go from San Francisco to LA if you really were trying to make it as good as possible. I sort of narrowed it down to the rather obviously one must have some kind of tube with a special environment. And then the question is what sort of special environment? What would actually work? And are we violating any laws of physics or doing something that fundamentally doesn't close from an energy standpoint or something like that? So I bounced around a bunch of ideas with the SpaceX and Tesla aerodynamics teams and then a few of the guys in the Tesla sort of motor group. At first I thought, okay, well, can we make something which is like a pneumatic tube work? Where you're essentially like a big version of the mail tube, run the basic calculations and energy required to do that. It was truly, truly enormous, and required a crazy number of boost pumps. So then we tried lowering the pressure. Still required huge energy. If you go all the way to a vacuum, it can work, but then you'll have the challenges of maintaining a vacuum. And then I said, well, what if you put the compressor fan on the front? How much energy would it take to pump the air from front to rear? And then can we find a dual use for that process and use air bearings? So I asked the SpaceX and Tesla teams to just tell me if they thought that would work. What are the how much energy would they think that would take, and would it actually solve the Cantor limit issue? that was kind of the final breakthrough that was needed. That it would. And then we try to account for what the right pressure level is in the tube. And I came to a conclusion it's probably somewhere around the open tour level. And that's sort of a happy medium that's manageable from a battery standpoint, or, you know, from a head pump standpoint, and still gives you the air to use the air bearing. It doesn't give you so much drag that it becomes untenable from an energy standpoint.
Can you talk at all about energy consumption? Like, you know, how are we talking as far as power is concerned? I know solar power was mentioned early on. How much energy do you think you can recoup at the other side? And again, this is coming from people that haven't been able to read the entire alpha page yet.
We have a fair bit of detail on that. Because that is one of the key questions. And actually, quite a fundamental question is, can you contain enough energy on the in a battery pack in the pod to pump the air from front to rear and power the air skis. The conclusion was yeah, we can. In fact, if we just use some version of the Model S motor, with maybe a few of them in series, and the Model S battery packs. In other words, if we assume current technology of Tesla on the battery pack and motor front, we can make it work. It's in the basically several hundred kilowatt range of energy.
Mm-hmm. And on the solar power front?
Yeah, so there's actually way more surface area on the top of the tube than you really need. If you actually did put the solar panels on the whole thing, you have to dump the power somewhere. You have more than you could possibly consume.
Right.
Right, but it sounds like you also need to create a company as well. So what's the sort of thinking about that?
Yeah, I suppose a company would be created. I'm sort of less concerned about that than just sort of like figuring out the technical details. I mean, the way these things tend to work is you start building a prototype and you encounter a whole series of issues that you have to figure out a way around. That's what happened at SpaceX and Tesla. And I'm sure what happened here. So, yeah, I guess there probably would be a company formed at some point. It's not a high priority. But it would be something that probably makes sense on the way.
Sure. And I guess finally, you've obviously gotten a lot of interest in this idea from people around the world. What's the feedback been thus far, and have your design plans changed at all based on the feedback that you've gotten?
There were a bunch of questions raised about how something like this might work. We kind of hit those questions ourselves as well. So I wouldn't say that our design has specifically changed because of the feedback we've seen, but I'm sure it will. I'll bet they'll keep people like all this thing. That's to make it better.
Okay, great. Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Alan Boyle.
Hi, Elon. Thanks for taking the question. Actually, I had a quick question on the technical and then maybe a question on rights-of-way acquisition. The technical, you're talking about the external electric induction motors. Those would be placed along the tube at various places and kind of pull the pod along, give them a boost every so often. And then on the right-of-way issue, do you have any thoughts on that practical aspect of how you actually get this built? I know you talk about paralleling I-5 as much as you can, but do you have any thoughts on how you might how that might be done, even for the demonstration project that you're talking about?
Well, the demonstration project, I would not, would decouple that from anything that requires some big government approval process, and that would be done in a test area, potentially like SpaceX has a big rocket test facility in Central Texas, and maybe Seattle, someplace like that. But you'd want to be able to iterate quickly on the design and address issues before putting it something like the I-5.
And then on the induction motor, just to be clear on how that part of the system would work?
For the induction motor, it's an unrolled electric motor. So, if you just sort of look up sort of linear induction motor, that you'll get a ton of stuff on how that works. The first linear induction motor, I think, was 120 or 130 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And your next question comes from the line of Will Farmus.
About the issue of turns, I haven't gotten a chance to read the entire report yet, but... Would there be problems making turns? You said you'd have to deviate a little bit from the I-5 route, but there are a few very curvy portions of the highway. We can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So most of the route could follow the I-5, or just the general sort of existing rights of way of state highways and interstate highways. There is a tricky portion near LA, which is called the Grapevine, where the sensible thing to do would probably be to, in order to straighten things out, to do a series of tunnels through the hills. maybe a little bit as you're coming into the Bay Area, across the little range of mountains that are just before Hayward.
And really briefly, why do you believe you could do it with pylons, whereas a high-speed rail system requires a much stronger foundation? Is it just the weight?
Yeah, it's a weight thing. This is designed to be super light, and trains are amazingly heavy. There's who try very hard to make the trains light. Major heavy. So this is designed more like an aircraft.
Thanks.
And your next question comes from the line of Adam Becker.
Hi, Elon. Thanks for taking our question. So you talked about, you said that you had sort of talked yourself into possibly creating a demo. What would be the...
If somebody else goes and does a demo, that would be really awesome, and I hope somebody does. But if it doesn't look like that's happening, or it's maybe not happening quite the right way, then that's... when I give some time to this. So it's mostly from the standpoint of, like, I'd like to see something like this happen. I don't really care much one way or the other if I have any economic outcome here, but it would be cool to see a new form of transport happen.
Sure. What would be the time scale on making a demo like that? Like, how long, say that you decided tomorrow that you wanted to build it, how long do you think it would take to build a demo of the size you've got in mind?
Well, I mean, if it was my top priority, I could probably get it done in 1 or 2 years, but it's going to be pretty far from my top priority, so I don't know, maybe if I do end up doing a demo and somebody else doesn't, then maybe it's 3 to 4 years.
I'll let whoever's next in the queue go, but thank you.
And I think we have time for just one or two more questions.
The next question comes from the line of William Hannigan.
How many people did you have working on this project, and about how long did it take to come up with this design?
There were probably a total about a little over a dozen people working on it, but it was a very very much a background task. So this was not something that wasn't anybody's full time job. We started thinking about it, or I started thinking about it probably a year and a half ago, I guess, or maybe 2 years ago, and then started involving others about 9 months ago, maybe 10 months ago. We're just batting around in the background at SpaceX and Tesla, and then in the last basically few weeks, we did allocate some full-time days to it.
Who's engineers from...
Okay.
I'm sorry, who's engineers from both SpaceX and Tesla?
Yeah.
Okay, and then what do you expect the reaction to be from the high-speed rail authority here? Obviously, as you laid it out, it seems like you wanted to ruffle their feathers.
I don't think we should do the high-speed rail thing because it's currently going to be roughly $70 billion. But, I mean, if one ratios the cost at approval time and the cost versus the cost of the completion time of most large projects, and certainly health plans large projects, I think it's probably going to be north of $100 billion. And then it seems like it's going to be less desirable to take that than to take a plane. So that means California taxpayers are not just going to have to write off $100 million, but they're also going to have to maintain this and subsidize the ongoing operation of this train for a super long time. I mean, it's sort of California's Amtrak. And that just doesn't seem wise for a state that was facing bankruptcy not that long ago.
All right, I think we have time for one last question, Joy.
Your last question comes from the line of Justin Pritchard.
So, taking another question on the timing matter, in the best case scenario, if everything, whoever goes with this, if anybody does, how long would it take to actually see somebody step on that first capsule?
Well, I think if hopefully somebody, whether it's me or somebody else, does a demonstration article, that demonstration article itself would be something that you could write on.
Being from LA to Arizona, the route from LA to San Francisco, I mean.
Well, it depends on how long it takes to build that whole long section. I imagine that's probably, at least sort of 4 or 5 years after a working prototype is developed. So these sort of stack them, it's maybe 7 to as much as 10 years from now before it will be fully operational. I think that's comparable timing to the high-speed rail project.
So 7 to 10 years for someone to be able to get from LA to San Francisco or the other way in about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the call. If you have any follow-ups, please feel free to email me, and we'll try to get back to everyone as soon as we can. Joy, is there anything else we need to run through?
No, ma'am. That's it.
Okay. All right, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.